Well, good morning. It is Friday, April the 17th, in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. So rise and shine and give God the glory. Let's jump straight into consecration this morning. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you, and we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, our entry today is entitled On Picking Up Our Pieces and Making Our Own Puzzle. And our text is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Hear now the word of the Lord. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. The word of the Lord. Now, consider this. I don't know if the jigsaw puzzle metaphor is helping anyone, but I know it is helping me. One of Jesus' supreme teaching strategies, then and now, is to take something we do understand to teach us about something we don't understand. He readily deployed analogies, metaphors, and parables, not so much to make points as to give us pictures and to open not just our eyes, but the eyes of our hearts. As Aristotle once put it, the soul never thinks without a picture. In the beginning, there was no puzzle, only a seamless creation, the presence of God, the union of man and woman, the harmony of creatures, and the peace of the created order. With distrust came disobedience, and with disobedience came division. And with division came separation, and with separation came shame. And with shame came fragmentation. And with fragmentation came fear. Boy, that's a long journey. And yes, with fear came the evening news and daily updates on how everything keeps coming apart, disintegrating and breaking down, with a little happy sentimental bit at the end of the broadcast. That's how we get from beautiful to broken, from peace to puzzled. God, Rich in Mercy begins again with two broken puzzle pieces, Abraham and Sarah, and proceeds to create a new people, a holy nation, in the midst of whom God will dwell, and through whom he will bless the whole world, putting the whole picture back together again. The problem is the way this people, created for the blessing of the world, became a people unto themselves. They mistakenly thought they were the picture, gathering up their pieces, chopping off the rough pieces to create straight edges, and otherwise excluding everyone else as outsiders, even going so far as name-calling. Right? Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. Yes, Israel became their own puzzle, put together according to their own skewed biblical vision, and making accommodation for many pieces that did not fit, i.e., idolatry and idols, while excluding those pieces that God commanded must belong, pushing the poor and the marginal beyond the edges. Per his promise, God disassembled Israel's disastrous puzzle in what the Bible refers to as the exile. Decades later, God permitted them to return to the land, where they promptly picked up where they left off with the same old self-contained puzzle. And that is where Jesus, Messiah, the centerpiece, enters the picture, recasting the original vision, picking up all the dislocated and dislodged pieces, and putting things back right again. More on that in the next chapter. This is all history, but what about now? I see a warning in the opening verse for us today. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. Just as Israel wanted to gather up their pieces and put their own puzzle together with nice, neat, straight edges and sharp corners, so the church continues to do in every age. Something deep within us, some combination of pride and fear, causes us to want to exclude others, label them, and even resort to name-calling. We must remember this admonition in the depths of our being. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. We want to say who is in and who is out and back it up with biblical authority. Like Israel, we can be so right with the message, yet so wrong in the way we go about the mission. We will do well to remember this is Jesus' blood we are dealing with, not our boxes. This is Christ's church, not our club. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who is both centerpiece and cornerstone. He is the one who the builders rejected, yet could not be refused. Jesus, we want you to be more of the centerpiece of our lives. We want to find our fit in the beautiful complexity of the puzzle picture you are putting together. Lead us. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Got some journal prompts today. Do you remember what it was like to be an outsider to the gospel and God's people? It doesn't necessarily mean you were a notorious sinner. You could have been a faithful church attender. I want you to describe that. Number two, what is your level of awareness of and appreciation for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ? Is this a conceptual truth for you, or is it a visceral reality? And then number three, how do you see the church and churches of today all at once being right in their message and yet wrong in their way of mission? That's pretty strong. I'm not asking you to become judgmental, just, you know, appropriately honest. You don't have to name people or particular churches. But, you know, when you do the right thing in the wrong way, you can turn the right thing into the wrong thing, can't you? And it cost Jesus, cost him his life. But God raised him from the dead. And he's turning everything right side up. You know, I was thinking about the two major motions, the two major movements of the gospel are, number one, overacceptance. Like, God has, we were far away. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. That's over acceptance. I mean, we did not deserve it. We did not earn it. But he's not just accepted us, he's over accepted us. That's what grace does. That's what grace is. That's why it's so amazing. And then the other movement of the gospel is reincorporation. So not only are you over-accepted, you're reincorporated into the family. You're brought into it. He says, don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders, right? They were called heathens. And Jesus comes in and golly, he just overaccepts. And then he like, no, now you're insiders. You're just as much a part of it as anybody. You were excluded, but now you are included. I mean, don't you love people who include other people? That's what Jesus does. And that's what he's doing in us and through us. That's the kind of person he's making us to become. I remember the story of how when Richard Nixon first came back to the White House, it was years after he had left in disgrace. You know, he had been caught in a major breach of the law, lying, deceiving, betraying, left in disgrace, resigned from the presidency. And there was the death of one of the former presidents, and He came back for the funeral in the White House, and there were all the living presidents standing there in the Oval Office. It was, I think it was probably Clinton and Ford and Carter, and Ronald Reagan was the sitting president at the time. And Richard Nixon walked into the Oval, and just this was the first time he'd ever come back, long time after he'd left. And Ronald Reagan steps up, walks straight over to former President Nixon and said, "Welcome home, Mr. President." It was a moment. It was a movement. It was over-acceptance, reincorporation. You know how much that's needed in so many families today? Kids who've just left the fold, disappointed, rebelled. Maybe a spouse who's just notoriously cheated, done wrong, left in disgrace. Over-accept them, reincorporate them. That's amazing grace. All right, we're going to sing a great hymn today. It's been requested. It's called Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord. You'll recognize the tune and the hymn. We'll sing all the verses. Let's just do it. Marvelous. This is 558, 558. My dad's not here calling the number today. 558 in our hymnal, Great Redeemer's Praise. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair, like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Last verse. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe, all who are longing to see His face. Will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Amen. What a great hymn. Isn't that the story? Over acceptance. Re incorporation, the stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. That's the story of Jesus over acceptance. God puts him who was thrown out, rejected, crucified, raised him from the dead, set him down as the cornerstone. That's our story, friends. And when Jesus is in us, that's what he's doing. So let's move with him today. All right. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt. And I'll see you on the field. Got my seeds. You get yours.